everyone. We are so excited about this week. We're so excited about Vision Sunday. If this is your first time here, my name is Pastor AV. I'm the Creative Arts Pastor here at Hope City, and I want to get to know you. So in the seat back in front of you is a connection card. Fill that out, drop it out in one of the black boxes that's in the worship center or in the lobby, or you can take it to our welcome center. We have a free gift that we want to give to you just for saying thank you. We're so excited that you chose to join us this morning. On the back side of the connection card is a spot for prayer requests and praise reports. Listen, Hope City is a church that believes in the power of prayer, and we believe in surrounding and supporting each other as we're walking through hard seasons. So fill that out. If you need us to pray with you, we pray over those every week. Or if you're like, hey, look where God has shown up, fill that out too. We want to celebrate with you. We want to encourage you. Listen, we're your family, and we want to be able to support you through all the highs and lows that life has to offer. If you haven't found a life group yet, we want to encourage you to sign up for one. On the screen in front of you is a QR code. Scan that QR code. It's going to send you to our website that has all of our different life groups on it. Find one, sign up, attend one. Listen, life groups are the heartbeat of Hope City. It's where we grow in community, where we grow in our relationship with Jesus. It's where we get to eat some good food. Listen, hey, marriages are being restored. Men are becoming better men. Youth are growing together and in the relationship with Jesus, and so much more. So much good things are happening in life groups. You do not want to miss out. Our next growth track is happening here February 19th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Register for that up on the screen in front of you or on the lobby at the Welcome Center. We are so excited for what God is doing in Growth Track. We're so excited to see people discovering their purpose, their talents. It's so much fun. If you're new to Hope City, or if you haven't attended Growth Track, or if you haven't been to Growth Track in a long time, we want to encourage you to come. Find out what Hope City is about. Find out what you're about. Listen, we're so excited. God's doing some awesome things in Growth Track, and you don't want to miss it. We have some exciting news this week. On Tuesday, Hope City will launch its official app and a new website. So keep an eye out for that. We'll post some stuff about how to use the app and all of that stuff as it comes available. So watch our social media, Facebook and Instagram. We are so excited about this growth, about this change. So keep an eye out for that. And we are going to head into talking about what 2022 looks like here at Hope City and in your life. We are so excited to grow with you over this next year. Thank you guys for showing up. Thank you guys for being here today. We love you so much, and I'll see you next week.
That was a little awkward. When's our video? What's that? Right now? It's supposed to be right now? Okay, we're going to go sit back down. Pretend we didn't come back up. Bring the lights back down, friends. Man, what a great year. A couple things I want to highlight to you before we get started. If you're a guest with us this morning, thank you for being here. We are so glad you're here. If you'll take a moment, fill out the connection card in the seat back in front of you. Drop that off on the way out. We have a gift for you. In fact, today we have a gift for everyone. Anybody like gifts? Anybody like, they don't like gifts. You like gifts? Come on, how many want a gift on the way out? It's going to be awesome, I promise you, even though you're quiet, all right? There's also some coffee if you need to wake up. So, you know, I mean, it's out there too. But I want to take a moment and say thank you to all of our Dream Teamers. If you see people in a red shirt that say Dream Team, they serve every week here at Hope City, or every other week, or however they serve. But can we give our Dream Teamers a big hand? We so appreciate. We could not do it without our Dream Team. It's so important that we want to say thank you to our Dream Team, and thank you to everyone that serves. If you, and I know you heard this already, but it's on the video and it might be easy to ignore. If you are not in a life group, I want to challenge you to be in one. I promise you, it is so life-changing and transformational. Listen, you can come and you can sit in a chair for an hour and a half on Sunday mornings, and if that's all you do, you're missing out on what God has for you. God has so much more. The life groups, there's a men's life group called Better Men. Better Men is an incredible opportunity to become a better man. And that happens
really?
On... Yes,
stop plugging your own life group.
Hey, but I also was going to say the marriage one, too. The marriage one is awesome. It happens on Monday night. And, man, that one, if you want to be challenged, and a lot of people, I'm telling you, that one. And then youth, the youth small group, and the ladies with Jess. I promise you, you are not going to.
And the
young
adults.
I mean, it is awesome. You might go, well, Pastor, how do I find out more information? I'm glad you asked. There's a card on the back there. Take one. Get plugged in. It's never too late. You can join a life group at any point. So I want to encourage you. And then also, Hope City doesn't move forward without the generosity of you. And so today, I want to say thank you for everyone that has given. Thank you to everyone that has stepped out in their tithing and in their giving. This last year was a great year. But I want to encourage you, that's where we find the most blessing, is when we step out and we're obedient. We follow God's word. How many of you would you say, I've experienced that in my life? When you tithe, you've experienced it, man. There's hands that are going up all over the place because it happens. You can give online, text to give, in person, or which is dropping it off in the box or in the mail. I want to challenge you in 2022 to see if blessing your finances, you have to step out and give. So I want to encourage you with that. Just pray a blessing over you in that area. Listen, some of you are struggling in that area, and I want to tell you, if you'll be obedient and step out, I believe God is going to completely meet you. You need new jobs. You need new. I think that's just how God does it. So get ready as you step out and trust him. Let's pray. Lord, right now, I thank you for every person, God, who has already given online. Lord, I thank you for their generosity, and God, I thank you for what you're going to do in their lives as they're obedient, Lord. I can testify, Lord, you always meet the need, God. And Lord, you always meet us. You always stay faithful to your word. And your word says to test me and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven. And so today I want to just thank you, God, that you open up the windows of heaven, Lord. And as you bless us in our finances, we're able to turn around and bless the kingdom of God and move this thing forward, move Hope City. We don't give to Hope City, we give through Hope City. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite days of the month is baptism. And today, come on, anybody love to see some life change? Today we are going to baptize some people. And I want to tell you, listen, baptism, if you've been baptized before, but you feel like God is really, really tugging on your heart to start this year afresh and anew, baptism is for you. It's not just a one and done. If you feel like God's like saying, man, I want you to go and do it again, just to step out. Baptism is a sign that you're leaving your past in the water and you're coming out a brand new person. And today, we have everything you need. You may not have even been planning on coming to be baptized, but I want to tell you, we have all the shirts, we have the towels, we have everything. I think we have underwear. I mean, I think we got everything. Maybe we don't. I don't know. Okay, I guess not. All right. Can you believe underwear in church? But they're not used. They'd be brand new. I'm just telling you. All right. Moving right along. Okay. You never know. I got to get moving. Okay. If you want to be baptized, Jess and Matt are in the back, and I want you to get up right now and go. Go, 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 go.
This is Hope City Unscripted.
Come on. This is unscripted. If you want to be baptized today, I want you to get up. I know there's some kids that are going to be baptized. If there's some adults that need that, come on. If that's you, get up. Come on. Don't let them do it alone. If you want to be baptized today, and if your heart's beating like right now, you know you need to do it. Get up, and you can get up at any point. We're not going to embarrass you, but they're in the back. They will help you get set up. Let's fill this tank today, all right? Let's do this with baptism. Well, this morning is our Vision Sunday. We're talking about where we are headed in 2022 as a church. Listen to the scripture. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Proverbs 29:18. Listen to what that says. When people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Listen, I don't know. I've been there before. You've probably been there before where you just feel like, I don't even know which direction to turn. And I want to tell you, it's because we've got to see what God is doing in the next season of our lives. It's a real thing. We all can struggle with it today. What happens when you get into a moment in your life when you can't see what God is doing? Maybe you've been there before where all of a sudden it's like, God, I don't know why all these things are turning upside down. And you have a decision at that moment to either say, God, show me what you want me to see, or to stumble all over yourself. When it happens, when you get into that moment in your life and you can't see what God is doing, when things don't make sense in the human perspective, what is your response? Do you wait on the Lord to give you the eyes to see what he's up to? Because sometimes it means we have to have a filter change. Sometimes we are looking at things in the wrong way. And my prayer for you, and I think our prayer for life is, Lord, always help me to see what you're doing. And that's why it's so important as we come to this Sunday, we talk about vision. Where is God leading us as a church? Lord, we want to see where you're taking us. And listen, it's not just us as leadership. It's not just the Dream Teamers, but we all make up Hope City. If this is your home church, you're part of where Hope City is going to go this next year. What is your response? When he shows up, do you fight him? Do you ignore him? Do you get stuck? Or do you attend to what he's speaking? Because if you attend to what God is showing you, you will be most blessed. That's where we want to be as a church. When God tells us to do something, we want to go do it. When we're obedient and we go for God's way in our lives, there's ultimately an incredible blessing that comes. Maybe not right now, but hang on, it's going to come. We always need to keep our spiritual eyes open for God's vision. One area I want to challenge you in this year is, who needs to be at church in your life? Who do you need to pick up the phone and call and say, you need to come with me? Do you know that 65% of people would come to church if somebody just asked them? Let me say that again. 65% of people would come to church if somebody just asked them. I want to challenge you. Don't come to church alone. Invite somebody to come with you. Let's fill this place up. Don't just come alone. We want you to come, but come with somebody. Bring them here. Meet them here. I love Vision Sunday because it's where we get to share with you what God is showing us and the direction he's given for Hope City in 2022. Last year, our focus was building a firm foundation and a strong foundation. If you know, Hope City is only about a year and a half old. We're a brand new church. And you just see what God has done. So last year, we really focused on that. We'll continue to focus on that. This year, we believe God's vision for Hope City is moving forward, the forward movement, us moving forward, not being stuck, not staying right where we're at. In this world that we're living in, when life has just been upside down, it's easy to get stuck. And as a church, we're going to move forward. We're going to take back territory the enemy has stolen. And I want to encourage you in your life, if there's territory the enemy's tried to steal, it's time to take it back. Amen? We don't have to be on the defensive. We get to be on the offensive. And that goes for people in your life who you're saying, man, I wish that I knew they were going to heaven with me when they died. Man, all you have to do, get them here. They're going to have an opportunity to hear the gospel, the good news. We always keep moving forward in him. From the moment Hope City was born, God spoke very clearly that our mission was to love God and love people. If you've been around here for any amount of time, our mission is to love God and love people. That is the most important thing that we can do. There's nothing more important. Jesus said it. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love people as yourself. How do we do that? Our vision is to help people make sure that they're fully loved, safe to heal, equipped to make a difference. When you walk in the door, we want you to feel like you're fully loved here. And you are. We love you. We're so glad you're here. You are loved no matter how you walk in the door. I tell people this all the time. It's not our job to clean up the fish. It's our job to catch them and then let God take care of the rest. So it doesn't matter how you walk in. Doesn't matter what you, I mean, you can walk in with 500 tattoos everywhere. We're going to love you because you know what? You matter. It doesn't matter how you walk in the doors. And this year, we're really praying, Lord, send us the lost. Send us the broken. Let this be a hospital for people who are lost and broken. And if you're out in the world, which you all are, how many of you know there's some people that are really broken right now? There's some people that are really afraid right now. This is going to be an oasis of love. This is going to be a place where people know they're loved. So what does forward motion mean on a personal level? It means that we're going to grow spiritually. It means that you're going to be here on Sundays. It means that you're going to get plugged into a life group. It means that you're going to serve, find a place to serve. Listen, that's how you're going to grow. That's how you're going to move forward. If you just stay on the outside looking in, you're never going to get connected. And I want to encourage you, let this be a year that you're spiritually growing. And the way that we spiritually grow, we talk about this all the time, is one step at a time. What is your next step? And we're going to be talking about that today. What's your next step? Growth takes place one step at a time. We're looking at what we want to be at the end of this year, and we've been talking about this a lot. We don't want you to be the same person you are on January 30th as you are December 31st, 2022. We want you to be a brand new person. We want you to look at your life and go, man, look at the change that's happened in this year. Ask God to show you what your next step is. Ask him to help you. He's going to meet you there. Some of you have been stuck for a long time. This is a year to break free. It's a year that you can see your promised land and walk into it. The fulfillment of all that God has promised you. If you're stuck, you're not taking hold of what God has. When we begin to grow spiritually, Hope City will be propelled forward. We'll be ready for the harvest that I believe that God wants to bring. But God wants to bring here. He wants growing and vibrant people. So if you're stuck, why are you stuck? How do you get unstuck? There's some people in this room who are stuck and they don't even realize it. We want you to move forward. And it reminds me of the Israelites in Joshua 3. When we meet up with the Israelites, they'd been wandering around the wilderness for 40 years. I love it. If you've not studied the Israelites, you have to do it. Before that, God had brought them out of Egypt when they would have crossed the Red Sea. When they got up to the Red Sea, there was no way to cross it. They faced water. And listen, there were over a million Israelites that would have to cross the Red Sea in the Bible that we read about. You think about that. That's huge. That's way bigger. That's about three times this whole area of the Rogue Valley. That's three times the amount of people, and that's what would have to go across the Red Sea on dry land. The Israelites had been set free from Egypt. Their immediate response was to complain and want to go back to captivity. See, we don't want you going in reverse anymore. We want you moving forward. You have a choice. You can go back to where you were. The Israelites had that choice too. They faced this Red Sea that looked like an obstacle that they could not get over. And all of a sudden, God began to part that water when they stuck. They couldn't go back, because if they went back, the Egyptian army was there to take them. Listen to me, you can't go back, because the enemy is waiting to take you, just like the Israelites were. The Israelites' immediate response was to complain and want to go back. Instead of pushing ahead toward the promised land, they wanted to go back. It still happens today. God sets a person free, and at the first sign of resistance, they want to go back to captivity. They're stuck. That you can't go in reverse. If you go back, just like the Israelites, the Egyptian army was there, they would face destruction. They made the decision to move forward. Now they had to cross the sea. What would happen? Have you ever faced an obstacle that seemed completely impossible? When you make a decision and you go, I'm going to move forward, all of a sudden there's an obstacle in the way. The Red Sea was an obstacle. A million people do not cross, they would drown, right? I mean, there's no way. And all of a sudden, Moses stood firm, they stood firm, and they started to see God move. And what I find interesting, we never really think about this, but the Red Sea parted from the back to the front. So here's what I mean by that. The Israelites would not have known that the water was parting because they started parting on the other side. So it parted on the other side, and it came all the way. They were the last to know that it was going to part. Sometimes God is parting your sea, and you don't even realize it. Sometimes the path is opening up, and if you just hang in there a little bit more, you refuse to go back. But you say, God, I'm going to move forward no matter how difficult it looks like. And the Israelites, as they walked upon, listen, they didn't walk upon muddy. They walked upon dry land across the Red Sea. Because that's how good God is. Let me say it again. That's how good God is. When you move forward, he meets you there. It was an incredible miracle. There's miracles ahead when you're obedient and you begin to move forward. The Israelites still didn't learn from that process, though. They spent 40 more years out in the wilderness, and every time things got difficult, they complained. And it's funny because we'll read about the Israelites. You'll see them complaining, and we're all like, oh, we would never do that. Yes, we do. The first thing, it's easy to start complaining. That's exactly what the Israelites did when it got tough. They complained. They refused to do what God told them. Yet every turn, God supplied their needs. So when we come up to Joshua 3, and they're facing a flood again, they should have easily remembered what God does when there's obstacles in the way. After 40 years in the wilderness and a whole new generation of people, so these were the children of the people that had spent their time in the wilderness because God had decided that the Israelites, because of their complaining and their difficulties, that no one from the older generation would enter. It was all of their kids that were going to go into the promised land. Not one of the Israelites saw the promised land that started out in Egypt. And that's the cost of continually being stuck and not moving when God told the Israelites to move. So let's read Joshua 3:1. And we're going to study in there, and the ladies, we're going to be talking from there today. We're team teaching, and I got to hurry because I'm taking my time. All right, so here we go, Joshua 3:1. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left the acacia grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River where they camped before the crossing. I think that statement, there's one word in here that gives me all I need to know about where they were at. They camped out. They camped out. How many of you know? Easier to stay where you're camped out than push forward if there's an obstacle. If you read on in Joshua 3, you see that there was a problem. The Jordan River was at flood stage. I want to show you a picture. Here's what normally the Jordan River looks like. I'm not going to. Here's what it normally looks like. Okay? This is what they faced when they came up to this water because it was flooding. Let's go to the next picture. Okay? That was the obstacle they're facing. And I'm not going to preach Paul's point. You're going to have to wait for that. But they could have easily stayed there. They were happy. I don't know what an acacia grove is, but it sounds like it's pretty nice. They could have hung out there and just said, you know what? We're good enough. Because what they could do is they could see the promised land. The promised land was just right in front of them. I mean, they knew it was coming. All right? How many of us settle and we go, well, you know, I know God has good things, but it's too hard to push through all the way, so I'm just going to stay camped out at the acacia grove. And I want to encourage you, today it's time to get moving forward. I want to share with you 3 points. We're going to share today with you 3 points, just me one, okay? About how we move forward in our lives and as a congregation. Here's what I know. God has a promised land for you personally. Every promise he's given you is going to come true if you'll push through. Because he doesn't give a promise that he's not going to come out good on. But you're not going to reach it until you move forward. And our prayer is that in 2022, this is a year that you will move forward like never before. All right, so here's some things about knowing if you're stuck and how to break through that. Point number one, there are people that are happily stuck. It's comfortable. The Israelites could have been happily stuck. They could have stayed in their campground. They could have hung out in the acacia grove. They could have, I mean, it just would have been perfect. But they never would have reached their promised land. They were happily stuck. And I believe in America, there's a lot of people that are happily stuck. They're not happy with their life, but they're happily stuck because it's comfortable. Because if they're going to step forward, it's going to become a little uncomfortable. Right. It was going to be a lot of work for the Israelites and next to impossible to cross this raging river. Wouldn't it be so much easier just to stay at the acacia trees? And I'm sure the enemy would have convinced them of that. Oh, just stay here. Yeah. Even maybe they forgot what happened the last time the Israelites came up to water like this in the Red Sea. They could have been happily stuck. After all, it would have been so much safer to stay there. And here's the problem with that line of thinking. If you stay camped at a spot in your life because it's easy, you're never going to get to your promised land. You'll be stuck. Imagine what you're going to miss out on. And you might not be able to imagine it right now, but I'm telling you, God has so much more for you than you've already experienced. I want to say that again. God has more for you than what you've already experienced, and you're never going to get a hold of it if you're happily stuck and comfortable right where you're at. If you will push through, God has something incredible for you on the other side. There's people that will look at their lives and go, man, I've got so much I need to deal with. It's overwhelming. And here's what I want to challenge you, one step at a time. Let God unpeel one thing at a time. It needs to happen in your life because you've been so hurt. And it's one step at a time. So don't get overwhelmed with everything that needs to happen, one step at a time. God has so much more for you. It'll probably be some hard work. But being happily stuck is no longer an option. Don't waste any more time. I love what Hebrews 6:11 through 12 says, and then I'm going to turn it over to the ladies. It encourages us to never be happily stuck. Here's what it is. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts. In order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. No more happily stuck. We're going to move forward.
I see spiritually dull and indifferent. That sounds pretty stagnant to me, right? And we get in this spot where we're happily stagnant. And when we think of that word stagnant, it's kind of gross, right? It's kind of murky. It's kind of nasty. But when you're in it, you don't see that. There's a different kind of stuck, though, too. And that's the kind of stuck that the Israelites were in Joshua 3. And it's a pattern, right? And here's how the pattern goes. I'm doing me, right? I am doing what I think is best. I'm living my best life. And eventually, I get to a place where I realize maybe doing me, I'm not actually doing the best job, right? In fact, maybe I realize I'm a big old hot mess, right, when I'm doing me. And maybe I even get to that spot where I feel like I hit rock bottom. Been there? And so usually, hopefully, what comes after rock bottom is a good old come to Jesus, right? And I realize, oh, God's plans are what's best. And so I'm going to go after God's plans. Yeah, that's my new resolution, right? I'm going after what God says is best for me. And so I start doing things, right? I start doing the hard things. I'm trusting him, right? Maybe I'm cutting off old relationships. Maybe I'm I'm doing things differently this time. Have you ever been in that spot where you're like, I'm doing things differently now? And then all of a sudden, it feels really hard. Maybe even too hard. And you're like, God, do you really have my back? Is this really what's best? You think that this is what's best? I have an idea, God. Right? I'm just going to look out for me this one time. I'm sure that you'll agree. God, you'll stop me if I'm not right, right? I'm just going to go for this one because I really do feel like I'm right this time. And then just like that, I'm right back where I started. Doing me, doing what's best for me, and making my own decisions. It kind of is a cycle. It's not kind of, it is a cycle, right? The Israelites were stuck in a cycle. They would decide that God knew best, and they would take a few steps in that direction forward in obedience, and then they would freak out, get scared, and start to depend on themselves again. And they would be right back where they started, stuck because of their disobedience. It's really similar to a merry-go-round. You know, on an old-school elementary playground, the one that goes around and around. Yeah, that one. Just like that. It feels like you're making progress until all of a sudden you're right back where you started. And it feels, here's the other thing about a merry-go-round, while you're on it, it feels really normal. And it's not until you step off that merry-go-round that you realize how dizzy you really are. It's not until you step off of that merry-go-round that you realize, man, I think I'm a little sick. I think there's something wrong with me. Am I right? So what's the answer? You know, the Israelites, they're stuck on a merry-go-round in Joshua 3. They've come to this point. When we hit Joshua 3, they finally have come to a point where they realize how dizzy and sick they really are. And we pick up in verse 4 of chapter 3, where they're getting directions on how to move forward, what their forward movement looks like. This is how they're going to stop their cycle. Verse 4 says this. It says, since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half mile behind them. Keep a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. This is what I want to highlight, that first sentence. Since you have never traveled this way before. In order for you to go somewhere that you've never traveled before, you must step off the merry-go-round. Right? Break that cycle. That means when things get hard, when you have these grand ideas that seem to be better than what Jesus has told you to do, don't. Go somewhere you've never traveled before. Let's try obedience. Full obedience, not half obedience. Not, I'm sure Jesus will be fine with this. Just full obedience. Getting off the merry-go-round means listen to this. You might, if you're a note taker, you might write this down. Getting off the merry-go-round means that I am going to order my life to be completely obedient to the mission that Jesus gave his disciples. That mission was found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, where Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Here's the thing about your merry-go-round. It's all about you. Sorry to say it. You've made your merry-go-round all about you. If I'm going to order my life to be completely obedient to the mission that Jesus gave his followers, it's not about me. Right there in verse 20, it says, teach these new disciples. Right? Who are you teaching? Who are you pouring into? Come on. Stopping the cycle and taking steps forward means that we have a much bigger picture in front of us. Not for me, right? It's not about me. So for me, if it's changing the way I pray, right? Even my prayers, even the way I'm talking to Jesus sounds different. I'm praying, Lord, help me to order my life to be completely obedient to the mission that you gave your followers. What if each and every one of us prayed that prayer before we got out of bed each day? It'd be pretty hard to stay on a merry-go-round. It'd be pretty hard to cycle, right? I can't be stuck in a cycle if my eyes are set on what Jesus has called me to do.
So I think we can all agree that being stuck or cycling, it's not very fun, right? It's not. It might feel normal, but it's not very fun. There's no progress in that. So there's only one thing left for us to do then. If we agree that staying in the same place or going back is not the right thing, or just going on that merry-go-round and doing what we've always done before isn't the right thing, there's only one thing left, and that's this, the forward movement, right? That's what is left, is the forward movement. And we're going to go right back to Joshua chapter 3, starting in verse 7 to 17. And I'm going to kind of like, you're going to see some dots, dot, dot, dot. You know what that means in like grammar? That just means like some of the words were left out. Okay, go home this week and read the whole chapter. But I'm going to leave some things out for the sake of time. Okay, so Joshua 3, verses 7 to 17, it says this, "The Lord told Joshua, give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant." Now, just let me give you some background. They're at this Acacia Grove camping out. And they have a choice to make. Either they're going to stay here, they're going to go back to what they've always done before, or they're going to move forward, right? That's where they are. So give this command to the priests who carry the ark. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. So Joshua told the Israelites, look, the ark of the covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. The priests will carry the ark of the Lord. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of the water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand like a wall. I'm coming back to these. If you see those words in red, we're coming back to them. So the people left their camp. Oh, good job, people. They left the camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. We'll go back to that as well. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Good job, Israelites. They move forward. But it wasn't easy. Okay? It wasn't easy. Listen, God's never going to call us to do easy things. When he talks to us about our next step, it's never going to be easy. Because if things are easy, guess what we don't need? Guess who we don't need? We don't need God. See, and we can do it on our own. We don't need God. So guess what? He's not going to ask you to do something that's easy. If it feels hard, that's probably God. Amen. Josh is laughing at me over here. Okay? So, Casey, show this picture again of that flooding river. Okay. The Jordan River was at flood stage. That is scary. That's scary. That is not easy to step into. Even at the banks of the river, there's no calmness, right? It is scary. The Jordan River was at flood stage, and the current was strong. And this river reminds me a little, when you look at it flowing like this, of the Rogue River, which is a sedimentary river, which means the riverbank is gushy, a little slimy, right? It's not easy to get a firm step. So you take one step in and you could fall on your behind, right? This was hard. It wasn't easy. The second thing I see is that the result of moving forward might not be immediately experienced. Yeah, listen to this. The result of moving forward might not be immediately experienced. If we go back to what we just read, it says, as soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the water will stand like a wall. Here's the deal. When the priest stepped into that river, the water did stop, but it stopped a great distance away. It stopped a great distance away. As a matter of fact, it says in the Bible that it was at a certain town which was many miles away. It's like this. If you can picture this for me, this is how I pictured it. If we stepped into the river at Tuvel Park, you know where that is? Everyone know where Tuvel Park is, right here in White City? If we stepped into the river at Tuvel Park and God stopped the flow of the river up at the Shady Cove Bridge, can you see the Shady Cove Bridge from Tuvel Park? For those of you who are not familiar, the answer is no. There's a lot of twists and bends and rapids in the river between the bridge and the park. And there's a lot of water that has to keep flowing after it's stopped before you see the results. There's still miles and miles of water that has to flow before the priests realize, yep, the water has stopped flowing. And so when you take your first step, the next step to move forward, you probably will not see immediate results. Because that would be easy, right? That would be easy. And God calls us to do hard things, because it's the hard things that strengthens our perseverance and develops a strong character within us. Oh, there's a whole other sermon right there. I just saw it. All right? And I can imagine as the priest stepped into this water and Joshua's looking at them and they're looking at Joshua and he's like, God, you're doing it, right? God, it's stopping, right? And the priests are there like holding this ark, trying to stay flowing river, gushy underneath. And I can imagine the panic that's setting in. Like, God, you're working, right? You're working. And so we have to remember this. Don't go back. Don't go back. There is a period that is going to happen between obediently moving forward and seeing the results. There's going to be a period of time. It might be days. It might be weeks. It might be months. It might be years. And you know what? It's during that period between obedience and results that Satan screams the loudest at you to turn back. Right? Because he wants you to stay stuck. Oh, he loves your cycles. Because when you're stuck or when you're cycling, when you're on that merry-go-round, it's impossible to move forward. And at those moments, when you hear those words in your ears, like, nothing's happening, God told you to do this, and nothing is happening, maybe you should just turn around, doing it this way isn't working out for you, I'm going to tell you what. Be still. Be still. And remember what God has done in the past. Remember it. In Deuteronomy, Moses told the people, write everything that God has said to you and what God has done for you and how he has shown up for you. Write it on little scrolls and wear them. Wear them on your forehead. Wear them on your wrist. Wear them every day. We do something different in my world. I write it down in a journal. Guys, this is our gift to you this year. This is the Forward Movement Journal. And here's what you're going to do with this. Everyone's getting one on your way out today. We're going to make sure you have one. Okay? This is what you do with this. You write everything in this. You write what God is speaking to you. You write what Bible verses are standing out to you. You write down the hard stuff. You write down the great stuff. You write it all in here. You bring this to church with you, and you take notes on Sunday mornings. And then you go home out there the week, and you pore over those notes, and you learn more about what God is saying. And when you get to December 31st, 2022, you're going to have a whole documentation of how you have chosen to move forward. Because I don't plan on being the same person on December 31st as I am on January 30th. I plan on being someone different. I plan on doing the hard things. I plan on moving forward. That's what I plan on doing. Well, maybe you're sitting here and like, I don't even know what that looks like. I am so glad, because guess what? We've thought about that. And I'm going to give everyone one of these as you're on your way out too. On the back side of this, what does it even look like to move forward? What should I be doing on a daily basis? How do I connect with God? How do I hear God's voice? We have all these resources on here for you. I don't know what kind of Bible plans I should be reading. That is fantastic. We have resources on here to hook you up with YouVersion, to get into different Bible reading plans, different Bible study plans. How do I journal? There's journaling ideas on here. There's no excuses. We're giving it all to you. You want to move forward? Let's do it together. Right? Let's grow together. Let's do the hard stuff together. Let's talk it out together as God created us to do in community. This is the forward movement. Who's on board? Come on. Now, maybe you're sitting here today, and I'm just going to ask everyone just to quietly close their eyes. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, I don't even know who Jesus is. I don't even have Jesus right now. And I want to give you a moment right now to say, my first step of moving forward is recognizing that I need Jesus. I need a relationship with him so I can hear his voice, so I can take my next step forward. If there's anyone in this room and right now you're recognizing, like, my first step is asking Jesus to just forgive me for living so long without him and to give him permission to take me forward. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand so I can see you. Come on. That's so good. Come on. That is so great. Yeah. And we're going to pray together right now. Everyone together. Jesus, I need you. You are my first step. And I know you'll show me my next step. I repent. I don't want to do it my way anymore. You're the boss. And I'll listen. In Jesus' name. If you are one of those two that raised your hands today, I'm just going to, as we get ready to baptize, I'm just going to have you go to the back where it says next steps. Isn't that poetic? Right? I'm just going to have you go to the back where it says next steps. Jeremy's back there. Josh is back there. They're going to pray with you. They're going to give you some boxes. Listen, a Bible. It's time to move forward, guys, right? It's time for all of us to move forward together. I am so excited about us moving forward together. Are you? Let's baptize some people.
And you know, there's no better time to get baptized than today. So if you just gave your heart to the Lord,